This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim.
Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah, Allah is great. All power and might belong to...
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wa adharil mursaleen. شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. All praise is due to Allah, and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Indeed, the best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the worst of all matters is to innovate in religion, and every such kind of innovation is a misguidance. A misguidance leads to the hellfire. I begin by greeting my brothers and sisters, saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Also, very quickly, just to briefly said, to briefly say what we said last night, I'd like to offer my sincere condolences to all the people that have lost any of their loved ones in this last tragedy that we had. Like I said, us Muslims, one of the beauties, the religious obligations that are upon us is that we be and we become instruments of change, facilitators of peace and justice. So as terrible as this tragedy is, what we want to also see it as an opportunity to make a difference on the community level, as far as the Muslim community is concerned here, and also on the personal level, where each and every one of us, a man or a woman, young or old, rich or poor, we have something to contribute. And that contribution that we make does not have to be in the sense of money. Doesn't have to be in the sense of food, even though it's very dire and very important at this point. But sometimes lending an attentive ear, sometimes embracing someone that has lost a loved one, crying with them and feeling with them, may be the best way of condoling and contributing to our brothers and sisters in humanity. And also remember, when we do these acts, we are not selectively picking and choosing, oh, I want to help them, they are Muslims, I want to help them, or I do not want to help them because they are not. In Islam, that becomes very irrelevant. Acts of goodness do not become good because you are giving it to one that is considered to be of your own. Good is good regardless of who is on the receiving hand. And that's what we want. That's what we want to display. And that's what we want to show. Not to the world, not when the media is there, not to be politically correct, because this is good. This is what ought to be done at this point. And we want to be sure, and we want to be of those who are making a difference at this time. Subhanallah, which is also an excellent timing for this convention to be taking place, and also an excellent time for us here this evening, inshallah, to be discussing the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you remember, few months or few years ago, a lot of talk was going on about Islam, and specifically the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was used as for lack of a better word, he was being bashed left and right, where people attributing all the atrocities that were taking place, all the nonsense that was taking place, they would say, it was the fault of the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you remember, an evangelical priest in the US by the name of Jerry Falwell, he spoke and he said, I think that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a terrorist. You've got someone like Bill Graham speaking and saying that, I think that Islam is a wicked religion. And when you compare fair-minded Westerners who did not necessarily convert to Islam, but they have studied the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will be amazed by what these people had to say about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it had to do more with their honesty and with their impartiality in the process. And this is what we invite people to do. Study the life and the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But at the end of the day, you may choose not to follow the theology and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but you will definitely admire the man, and you would not attribute such nonsense to this beloved man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when you look during the time when this Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, you'd be amazed to see the similarities between what was going on back then and what is going on nowadays. And you would feel that the world is in a need to a man like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By the way, to the benefit of my non-Muslim brothers and sisters, whenever we mention any messenger's name or Muslim say Muhammad, we would say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to say that may peace and blessings of God be upon him. And sometimes I would say Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, or Moses, peace be upon him. Of the teachings of Islam is that the way we show our appreciation to what these great men have done is that every time we mention their name, we say alayhim as-salam, aw sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon them. So every time you hear me mentioning these words, this is what we are saying in reference to our appreciation to these great men. One thing that stands about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out there, and right away, is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of the masses, and he spoke on behalf of the masses. He was not an elite that was disconnected from the reality of his people. He was not an elite that was disconnected from the majority of his people that were living back then, but rather he was of them, and he made sure that he speaks to them, and he speaks on their behalf, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why when his message started, he did not start speaking of his followers were not the elites, but rather his followers were the downtrodden. Those whom society considered to be faceless, voiceless, absolutely come from a family that is not very known, from an ethnic background that was looked down upon. The Arab culture back then was based on tribalism. You come from a good tribe, you get respect. You do not come from a good tribe, you are highly disrespected. The same way that our world is today. If you look into it, people who come from the northern hemisphere are the people who are in charge of everything. People who come from the southern hemisphere, these are the people that are exploited. They are the ones that are downtrodden. Nowadays, people may not consider you by your tribal association, but what kind of a passport do you hold? What is your citizenship? What country do you come from? And at that point, people will decide whether you deserve respect or you do not deserve respect on the basis of where you come from. So we had an elite back then that was in charge of everything, that was enjoying everything, that was exploiting everyone that was beneath them. The same way that we have this going on today. 86% of the resources of the world are enjoyed by 20% of the people of the world. Please listen to this carefully. 86% of the resources of the world are enjoyed by 20% of the people of the world. Which means that 80% of the people who are living in the world are fighting over the remainder 16% of the resources of the world. You've got farmers that grow produce, that grow vegetations, that grow fruits that they themselves they cannot afford, but it will be shaped, it will be shipped somewhere else. While the locals that are growing the farms in their own places are going hungry. Speaking of exploitation. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came and he spoke on behalf of these people. He did not only speak on their behalf, but he made sure that he be seen as one of them. He is one of them. Narrations have it, that a man will come from outside Mecca or outside Medina after the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina. And he will ask, in a gathering of people, he will say, which one is Muhammad? Because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not distinguished from his people. He would live with his people. He would dress like his people. He would be with his people and you are not able to tell who is Muhammad from the gathering that was there, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he spoke on their behalf. And that is why the people that loved him most were the common man. Not the elites, even though the elites loved him, but it was the common man that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was speaking about. And we see this also in the teachings of the Quran, my brothers and sisters. In the fourth year of prophethood, the Prophet ﷺ is receiving revelation. And what is the revelation that he receives? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who belies religion? Now when you think of a person that belies religion, what comes to mind? A person that does not pray, a person that does not believe in God, a person that does not believe in a day of judgment, a person that does not believe in the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But to the contrary of our expectations, Allah says, gives us a description of those who belie religion. What does Allah say? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who belies religion? What are his characteristics? فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ. It is he who repels an orphan with harshness. وَلَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And he does not encourage, he does not promote the feeding of those who are poor, the feeding of the homeless. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's teaching us this. A sign that now the people that are downtrodden, those who were exploited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that from now on, if you want to see whether you truly believe or not, Allah is going to say, these are going to be the measurements. These are going to be the reference point. These are going to be the criterion that tell us what kind of a person you are. How do you react to these people? And that's why they say, the greatness of any nation should not be based on the self-congratulatory statement that that state makes about itself. Because obviously, no country will say that we are bad people. No matter who they may be, they will never say that we are bad people. So they said, wait a minute, we cannot, in order for us to judge you, we cannot take your own statements and then say, well, they are good, because what they say about themselves is very good. You know, people who praise themselves, they have a joke. By the way, do people in India like jokes? Do they laugh if you tell them a joke? Even if it's not funny? You know, subhanAllah, of the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, you would not expect a messenger, a prophet, to be a person that smiles or tells jokes or appreciates jokes. But you look into the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and you will be amazed by how approachable this man was and how much people loved him and they loved joking with him and he also loved joking with them. And that is why sometimes we have this erroneous belief that the more Muslim you are supposed to laugh less. Laughter is not unholy, brothers and sisters. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asked, O Prophet of Allah, what are the dearest deeds to Allah? What does Allah love most? So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ. He said it is to bring joy into the heart of another believer. And sometimes you can bring joy, different methods to bring joy. Sometimes you can tell them something nice. Sometimes you may do something nice to them. And also sometimes you may tell them something that is funny. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you had the correct intention, then at that point, you will be doing a deed that is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said that there was a man, he was mashallah a very big man, very, very big. يعني mashallah, he was very, very big, mashallah, a really big man. So he came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he extends his head in the room and he said, Prophet of Allah, may I come in? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come in and bring the rest of you with you as well. Okay. So here we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only smiling, but also making other people smile as well. But anyways, just going back to the issue of self-congratulatory statements. This man comes to the masjid and he is praying and he is looking very good in his prayers. He is, you know, looking very devoted and he is looking very, very humble and what have you. So people start talking. As he is listening, then they are praising his salah. MashaAllah, we like where he's placing his hand. MashaAllah, we like this, we like that. And the man just became so very, very big-headed by what they're saying about him. In his salah, as he's praying, he looks back at them and he goes, by the way, I'm also fasting today. Okay, just more of the self-congratulatory statements that are made about ourselves. Very similar to this, by the way. One time, a man comes in the masjid, and he starts praying and he's looking very devout and what have you. And Umar ibn al-Khattab sees this and he gets very angry. And he goes to him and he goes, humbleness is not in your physical appearance. Humbleness is in your heart. Go ahead and pray again. So the man this time prays, and he prays very different than how he prayed the first time. So he says, Salaamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum. Umar comes to him and he goes, did you see that? Which prayer is better? The first prayer or the second prayer? And the man looked at him and he goes, Umar, can I be honest with you? And you know that there is a problem now coming. Because can I be honest with you? He says, yes, what is it? He said, the first prayer was better. And he says, why is that? He said, the first prayer was for Allah and the second prayer was for Umar. No, to please you. At any case, the goodness of any society is not to be based on the self-congratulatory statements that that society makes about itself. Then what should it be based on? They say the goodness of any society should be based on what does that society say about those who are forgotten. Because many times, that is really what determines whether a society is a good society or not. So here the Quran comes in, and in the midst of the persecution that is going on, the torture that is going on, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in, and to the people who are already being oppressed, what does he tell them? He tells them in the process, do not become the person that you are persecuting. And what does he say? He says, do not repel an orphan with harshness, and make sure that you be of those who encourage the feeding of those who are needy. And that's why I say, there could have been no better time for us to discuss the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than the present circumstances that are going on. It is these kind of teachings that are going to make a difference. The teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where how do you react to people in need is part of what kind of religiosity you have. See, one problem, brothers and sisters, we have made with regard to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we only made an imam out of Muhammad. We have limited Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the masjid. We have limited Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the pulpit. Do you give a khutbah in the same manner that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the khutbah? Do you pray inside the masjid the same way that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed? And then the minute you step outside of the masjid, you do not take the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with you, but rather you leave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid. And what happens at that point is that our imitation of the Prophet, peace be upon him, becomes very, very physical. It has to do with our appearance.